Buying a home can be exciting, scary, and sometimes even a little nerve-wracking. You spend countless hours dreaming of what the perfect home will look like. You start planning and you do what's necessary to make your dream a reality. For some folks, that means decreasing your expenses to save money. For others, that means learning about credit and increasing your credit score for lower monthly mortgage payments. And yet for others, that means spending hours taking prerequisite home buying classes to qualify for home buying assistance programs and to learn how to change behaviors to sustainable habits to help you retain the home. There are a lot of sacrifices that people make to purchase a home. You tour dozens of homes and then finally you find the home that's right for you. And then disaster. Welcome to another episode of Homeowner Nightmares. I'm your host, Brenda Douglas, and my goal is to help you not only procure a home investment, but to also maintain and keep it. These homeowner nightmares are shared for educational purposes and to provide solutions. Please be advised that the names and the exact addresses in these episodes have been changed to protect their privacy and the identities of all parties involved. It was 2014, and the mortgage interest rates were 4.31%. So the Smith family thought it was the perfect time to purchase their first home. Not to mention the fact that it would be a great idea for them to get settled before the winter. They were so proud to purchase their $410,000 single-family home located in the water-privileged community where the two of them had grown up. And they were delighted, and their four-year-old and newborn would soon have the experience of growing up there as well. Their purchase offer was accepted in November. They did their due diligence and had the home inspection in late November, and they moved their belongings into the home in December. All was well during the winter, but soon spring was near and the weather began to get warmer. One April day, as a four-year-old was playing outside in his new yard, he looked up and noticed a 3-foot black rat snake emerge from the facade of the new home. The parents had actually noticed the snake skin a few months ago, and so they thought that it must be the snake that it came from. But after a week later, the husband discovered a thick 7-foot black snake, and then another, and then another, and yet another. The snakes kept coming. The couple soon realized that they obviously have a snake problem. So they called a contractor and an inspector who gutted out the basement and discovered several highways of snakes in the basement walls. The inspectors declared the home to be snake infested and not suitable for children. The family found at least 12 snakes in 4 months, and they had spent over $50,000 trying to get rid of the snakes. They paid exterminators. They set snake traps all around the house, 4 on the outside, 4 in the basement, 2 on the ground floor, and 2 in the attic, but to no avail. The couple said, "Our worst fear was that the snake would go into our daughter's crib, like in the movies, and wrap itself around our baby girl." As a twist of fate, the previous owner of the house was the mother of the real estate agent. Her mother hadn't lived in the home in over 6 years. She had been renting out the home to tenants who often referred to the house as the snake house. The couple sued for $2 million. The lawsuit claimed that the real estate agent purposefully failed to disclose a recurring snake infestation that had plagued the house for at least 8 years. The real estate agent had refused to put a lockbox on the property while it was on the market. And the lawsuit alleged that the real estate agent and her mother had pest control perform a snake away treatment during all inspections of the house, and so no one observed snake activity. Furthermore, prior to the couple officially buying the house, they had heard rumors from neighbors telling them that there was a problem with the snakes. But when they approached the real estate agent about the matter, she assured them that the prior tenants were quote-unquote gypsies who did not want to pay rent and had photoshopped a picture of a snake at the property to get the house, to get out of the lease. The couple reached an undisclosed settlement in the lawsuit. According to Maryland law, sellers and their agents must disclose latent defects and material facts to buyers and their agents, and it seems that the snake infestation would be covered under each provision. The Maryland Association of Realtors say a latent defect is a condition that 1. Is not reasonably discoverable on careful visual inspection, and 2. Would pose a direct threat to the health or safety of the purchaser or occupant. Additionally, material facts are defined as the fact that would affect the buyer's decision to buy, the price the buyer would be willing to pay, or other terms to which the buyer would agree. Lastly, Maryland law states a real estate agent must disclose to all parties facts that the licensee knows or should have known. And that is why the real estate agent was held liable. Home inspectors are excellent at spotting structural issues and plumbing problems, but that isn't a replacement for a pest control expert who knows the subtle signs of rats, snakes, or mice or other pests. The home inspector will look for visible signs of pest activity, such as droppings or shed wings or termite tubes, as well as any other damage caused by pests, such as chewed wires or wood damage. They may also use specialized tools such as moisture meters and thermal imaging cameras to detect hidden pest activity. A home inspector may point out certain areas of damage to the property, but only a pest inspector can definitely determine if they're unwanted pets, how big the infestation is, and how long it's been there. Pest inspections are not included in home inspections. They are separate, right? And pest inspections in Maryland can typically cost between $50 to $400. So again, remember that when you order your home inspection, it does not include a pest inspection. And the home inspection as well as the pest inspection are both optional. They're not required for you to get financing unless something that's significantly noted. But they're not required. A home buyer can waive those rights or waive the right to have a home inspection, although I do not advise it. I do recommend that every home buyer gets a home inspection. And like I said, the pest is not included in the home inspection. It also is optional. All right, so let's take a closer look at this situation because we want to understand the best practices. We want to learn the lessons and we want to have solutions so that if you or someone you know is unexpectedly in this situation, you will have a solution and be empowered to practice prevention. All right, so first and foremost, in 2014, the interest rates were in fact 4.31%.
However, now it is October 2023. The interest rates for a 30-year fixed mortgage here in Maryland, it is 8.63%. So you see the interest rates change. The thing about purchasing a home when the interest rates are low is everyone jumps on board, right? And so there's more competition. You're competing with more people trying to buy a home because the interest rates are so low. And so what that does is it sparks a bidding war, right? Because again, you have so many people jumping on board for when the interest rates are low. That's why some of you are saying, okay, the interest rates are high. But the thing is, again, when the interest rates are lower, you have more competition. Even though right now in Prince George's County, Maryland, it is a seller's market. The inventory is extremely low. But the interest rates are 8.63% right now, October 2023. Here in Prince George's County, Maryland. So people are trying to wait it out. People are concerned about the interest rates balancing out because it's not actually getting higher. They're balancing out. We were in a pandemic, and so nobody was buying anything. And so the feds wanted to raise the rate to balance out the market, right? So again, when you wait until the interest rates are low at 4.31%, then you have more competition. Now think about this situation. They wanted to move into this water, everybody loves waterfront, right? They wanted to move into this particular community because remember that the couple had grew up there, right? And so they wanted to move back into their old neighborhood. So you can imagine the anxiety or the excitement of being able to have that opportunity with the interest rates being 4.31%. You can imagine them being able to qualify to purchase in their home in a waterfront community, right? One of the things about purchasing a home is that the anxiety or the emotions are high, right? It is an emotional process or an emotional experience when you are purchasing a home. But you want to fight to do your best to be rational, right? And if you are a couple, if one of you are emotional or is extremely emotional, and you know which one it is, you really have to play that bad guy, good guy card sometimes, right? One of you is the rational minded and the other one is the emotional. I don't know if you would call it a good guy, bad guy card, but the point is one of you need to be rational. And if you are single and you are extremely emotional, then you want to bring along a friend or a family member that you know will have your best interests in mind. And they are more rational so that they can keep you balanced in making your decisions. The other thing I felt to mention about this article is the fact that I've already mentioned that they grew up in this community, but it also mentioned that the schools were pretty good. Now, that's a matter of opinion, but then there are also school grades, or you can actually check the status or the ranking of the school by going online. I'll put that website in the description. But being in a great school district does affect home value. Let me just say that. Schools affect home value. Now, even though this couple purchased a home in the winter, snakes love to kind of hibernate during the winter and then come out in the spring. That's why so many of them were coming out of the house when the weather turned warmer. What I suggest you do when you're purchasing a home is to go by the home on multiple days. I suggest that you go by in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, when it's like in the winter, even though the winter is cold, there are some days where it's a little warmer than others. The point is you want to visit the neighborhood and you want to visit the community multiple times a day, right? Because think about it. If this home was being treated during the time that it was sitting on the market, then of course they would not see anything, but that treatment wears off, right? So had that been coming steadily, they would have been able to see what is really going. The other thing is that when you move into a neighborhood, like we all had a neighborhood that we grew up in, you have to understand that demographics change, that things change, right? That situations change, right? So you don't want to assume that, oh, because my husband and I grew up there, we know that's a good neighborhood. No, 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 no. You still need to do your research because, again, demographics change, things change, right? So don't assume that because you grew up in this neighborhood, the neighborhood is the same and the neighborhood is good. Some neighborhoods transition into better ones. Some neighborhoods do the opposite, right? So you want to educate yourself about what is this neighborhood doing right now? How are the demographics in terms of the behaviors, in terms of the crimes? And there is a website that you can go on to check those things. And I will put it in the description. Now, let me just say about this home inspection, let me slow down, is that I commend this couple for not waiving the home inspection. Again, when you were purchasing a home, understand that a home inspection, as well as a pest inspection, they are optional. You do not have to get them in order to get the loan. Whereas an appraisal, in order to get the home loan, you need an appraiser to come out and appraise the home. Well, a home inspection is optional. I do not ever suggest that anyone waives a home inspection. I don't care what the conditions are. I don't care what the contingencies are. I do not suggest that you waive a home inspection. The other thing is, if you are a home buyer, you want to put a home inspection contingency in the contract so that if the home inspection is not favorable, you can save your deposit. But again, I do not suggest that anyone waive a home inspection. If you don't care about a home inspection, I still suggest you get it so that you will know the condition of the property. There's no such thing as the perfect property. A home inspection or a home inspector will, in fact, find something about that house because that's what they're paid to do, right? But not everything requires immediate for you to fix it immediately, right? Either way, by having the home inspection, you'll at least know what you're getting into. So I commend this couple for having a home inspection. Now, I am going to jump ahead because the neighbors had told them that they had seen snakes, or there was a situation with the snakes, because remember, they went to the real estate agent to address it. And so what I would have suggested, the only thing I would have suggested that they did different in that instance was to immediately get a pest control inspection the moment that the person said that they had seen snakes there. Now, I don't know how far along they were in the contract. I don't know if it was a ratified contract, all parties agree, and they were moving forward, and they were at settlement, and so they were coming to take one last look at the house. I don't know the situation in terms of where they were in the process. But what I do know is when they found out that when the neighbors started talking, and you know, that's the beautiful thing about some neighbors, they love to talk. They love to share other people's business, guys. So if you are in the market to purchase a home, it is okay for you to knock on the neighbors' doors to ask them questions about the home that you are about to purchase. And I would suggest that you not just do that one neighbor. I would suggest you knock on the doors of several neighbors. They love to share people's business, and they love to give information to helpful. They love to give helpful information. I'm sorry. So the moment that the neighbors started talking about this snake house, that is the moment that they should have got the pest control inspection. And that is regardless of how far they were in the contract. The other thing that is raising a red flag to me is the fact that this couple has spent over $50,000 trying to get rid of these snakes. Now, that tells me two things. Number one, they wanted to keep the house, right? Number two, they really wanted their kids. Obviously, they wanted to stay in this house, or maybe they felt like it's our problem now. We have to deal with it. One of the things I want to point out is that that home, in fact, was not $410,000. It was $410,000 plus $5,000. I'm sorry, $50,000, the amount they spent on the extermination. So in the end, they really paid $460,000, the cost of the house plus all of those extermination treatments. So guys, when you are purchasing a home, you want to consider everything totaled. For example, for those of you who are living in communities that have HOA fees, HOA fees can be, I've seen them as low as maybe $20 a month, and I've seen them as high as thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars a month, right? So it can be a wide range. What I want you to understand is that a HOA is just as critical as a mortgage, right? So you need to total up everything to find out or to figure out what is your monthly payment. And when they give you that net proceed sheet, all of that will be included. And you should know exactly what is your monthly payment from month to month. And that's whether you have an HOA fee that will be added on to your mortgage, or if you have moved further away, you have to factor in the wear and tear in your car, as well as the gas if you need to get to and from work, right? All of that factors in, and it increases your monthly payments. So just keep that in mind. Now, the other thing that I want to bring to the table is the fact that the real estate agent was related to the seller. In fact, the owner of the house was the mother of the real estate agent. Now, what I want to say is in the state of Maryland, we are required to disclose our relationship to the seller, right? So that should have been written. If she was they were living in Maryland, then somewhere on that contract, it should have been disclosed that this is my mother's house that I am selling. I am representing my mother. And it never says where the mother was living. Was the mother living with the real estate agent, or was she living in a whole new house? Because remember, she had not lived in that home in over 6 years. So all of these things would have been red flags to just have a casual conversation so that you can dig deeper and learn more about this property and more about the people who are selling the property. Sometimes we don't want to feel like we are intruding, but the fact of the matter is once the keys are exchanged, they are exchanged. But this lady had been renting out this home for 6 years. So the question is it an investment property? Does she have her own property? Or does she just not want to stay in the home because she's scared and so she's living with her daughter, right? It is okay for you to ask questions. Like I said, you ask the real estate questions, you ask information or questions about the owner, and then also you ask the neighbors. All right, now as far as the real estate agent refusing to put a lockbox on the property, did you know that putting a lockbox on the property is optional? The homeowner does not have to allow a real estate agent to put a lockbox or a sign on the in the yard. In fact, they can opt out of it by filling out a form and waive that right for the real estate agent to put a lockbox or a sign in the property. Now, in terms of the lawsuit that claimed that the real estate agent purposely failed to disclose a recurring snake infestation that had plagued the house for 8 years. Now, let me just address this. First and foremost, real estate agents are legally bound by law to disclose of any latent defects that we are aware of. Additionally, when we sit down with the sellers and we take the listing contract or the listing agreement, within that package is a disclosure form. You have the disclaimer or you have the disclosure form. And the disclosure form, that is where you do one or the other. And that is where you note anything that is wrong with the property. In fact, on this form, you go down this form and you're checking off items in the home and you're asking the seller if they are aware of that there's anything wrong with these items, right? And so you're literally checking them off as you're talking to the seller, right? that is an opportunity for the seller to disclose anything that they are aware of that is wrong. Now, let me just say that if the seller does not disclose something is wrong, and yet the real estate agent knows it or observes it, then it needs to be noted. Same thing applies if a real estate agent knows that an addition to a home is not where it's not permitted. They have to note it, right? So, and we're bound by law to do that. So that is why they went after the real estate agent, because the real estate agent is under an obligation through the real estate commission to report those things. So that's why, again, they went after the real estate agent, because in this instance, it was her mother. But again, if a real estate agent is aware of anything, whether it was disclosed by the seller or not, if we observe it, if we take note of it, then it needs to be jotted down. It needs to be written down on this form, on this disclosure form. The other thing is the fact that they took the extra step to make sure to have inspections prior to, I'm sorry, to have extermination treatments prior to people coming through the house. That is a deliberate act, right? A deliberate act of trying to conceal. Now, in the event that something is not disclosed and you are the buyer, and it is raised, like it's come to your attention, or your seller, buyer or the seller, and you know that something was not disclosed, you are able to legally go to the real estate commission and report the licensee. Now, I'm not trying to get myself in trouble, or any other licensee for that matter, but you need to be aware of your rights as a consumer. And then also, once again, there is a difference between the home inspection versus a pest inspection. When you're having your home inspection, if you want to also at that time get a pest control inspection just to be safe, again, it's optional. Some home inspection companies also offer the pest, and then sometimes you can go separately and get another pest inspector separately. The point is, if at that time, if you choose to get one, it is optional, right? What I would suggest is that you do it sooner rather than later. You don't want to purchase the home and then get a pest control inspection, because by then it's too late, right? Then you have to, you're responsible for whatever liability that happens after, right? If you get the inspection before and you find out that something is wrong, or maybe you see termite damage or anything, what you can do is you can request a credit from the seller to be able to take care of those things, whether you take care of it now before the settlement or after. But the main thing is that the inspections will tell you how extreme the problem is, right? And how long it's been there. In this situation here, a black red snake can live up to 25 years, and the stench gets into the wall, the urine, the feces, all of that stuff attracts more snakes, right? And like I said, they can live to be 25 years old. And when you think of a highway, a steady highway of nothing but snakes in the wall, and these snakes are 7 feet long, they're 3 feet long. These are some really long snakes. And so visually, you can imagine the highway, lines and lines and lines of snakes. There's a lot of feces in there. There's a lot of urine, and they hibernate during the winter. So all during the winter, they have to release, right? So the point is, the stench is what will keep other snakes coming in there, because it's a haven for them, right? So in some situations are more extreme than others, right? But the pest control inspector and or the home inspector is able to give you a heads up about that, right? And how extreme is this? How much is this going to cost me down the line, right? Now, let me just say, for you buyers who are buying a home, the information has been disclosed. You know what you're facing. And they say, oh, let me give you a credit. You want to make sure that credit is enough to cover the problem, right? So you can get an estimate before you go to settlement. And again, don't just accept like any amount of money. You want to make sure that that credit covers the problem, right? So that you don't have a bigger problem down the road. All right, guys, listen, if you are, if you enjoyed this, let me just first say, go ahead and like and subscribe to this channel. I am committed to sharing more nightmares so that everybody can learn from this situation, including me, right? Including home buyers, including home sellers, including people who have a desire to purchase a home. The other thing is that if you want to share your homeowner nightmare, go ahead and send it to me and I'll be happy to help other people with it. I'll leave my contact number or contact information, I should say, in the description. You can feel free to share your homeowner nightmare. The other thing is I'm going to continue to provide content such as this, as well as the scams and other real estate related things, so that you can go ahead and subscribe and like to this channel so that we can be empowered, right, to make informed decisions. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope that this information has been helpful. And remember, home ownership is not just about buying a home or selling a home. It is just as important to maintain it and to keep it. Thank you so much, and I'll meet you in the next podcast.